When I was 11 years old, my family took an epic one-week road trip to the exotic locations of Wisconsin and Michigan. It was actually a really great time. And we drove throughout those states, and we stopped at a few spots, you know, significant spots along the way. But there's one that significantly stood out to me, and that was along Lake Michigan in the Upper Peninsula on a beach. I remember that day. It was a gorgeous day. The sun was shining. It was the perfect temperature. The sky was this really deep blue. And the waves, I remember the waves, they were rolling in, creating that idyllic sound and environment that you would expect from a place like that. You know, along the way, my family and I stopped at a grocery store, and my mom picked up some grocery items that we would then have for lunch at a picnic table that we would hope to find. And so we got to the beach and got out of our vehicle. My parents grabbed the lunch items, and we then proceeded to go to the beach. And as we were walking, we found this perfect picnic table right smack dab in the middle of the beach, and it seemed really isolated from everything else. There really wasn't much around it, and so it kind of felt like it was our beach, that it was just us. And so my parents decided to then start unpacking and putting everything on the picnic table to prepare for our lunch. And my brothers and I did what boys do when they're near bodies of water. We proceeded to find the biggest rocks that we could to throw them in, right? Eventually, my mother and father, they got everything set up. They called us, beckoned us to the table. And we all sat down, we prayed. It was perfect. It was perfect. That is until the beach rats decided to make an appearance. And just like World War II at Midway, hundreds of seagulls came flocking in from every direction. I mean, there were so many of them. They were trying to partake and to take all of our food from the table. And then they were blessing us from the machine gun fire of their underbellies. Now, we tried desperately to protect our food. And I remember we all kind of hovered over the table trying to protect as many of the sandwiches and chips as we could, sacrificing ourselves and our clean clothes, mind you. And it was to no avail, guys. There were so many. And so we retreated and we ran as fast as we could to the safety of our grand caravan. That lunch that we had that day was the furthest thing from peaceful. And ever since then, I've had PTSD whenever I see a picnic table. But isn't that how life often is? You know, we desire to sit down and enjoy the feast of life in peace. But instead of that, we are attacked on every side, assaulted by the enemies. And then they leave us with profound and sizable hurt. And hurt is something that we all understand too well. Every single person in this room has been hurt. And as a matter of fact, we actually try very hard to avoid hurt at all costs. See, what hurt does is that it often causes us to define the world around us and the people around us, and hurt also causes us to define ourselves. Now, at my house, we have several large oak trees. And when I mean large, I mean they're pretty big. And we have enough oak in our yard to build another ark should we need one. Now, if you don't know about oak trees, which admittedly, when we purchased the house 5 years ago, I did not know. If I did, we may not have bought the house. Because not only, okay, normal trees drop leaves in the fall. Oak trees, however, they hate us. They drop leaves in the fall. Yes, as a matter of fact, last fall, we packed up about 35 bags of leaves. That's not uncommon. But oak trees also drop leaves in the spring. How crazy is that? A few weeks ago, we actually packed up 50 bags of leaves. I tell you, my family and I, we would love to ignore the leaves that fall on our yard, but we can't. As much as we would love to see no leaves fall, they are going to fall. You know, just like the leaves in my yard, the hurt that we experience in life is going to happen, whether we like it or not. And also, like the leaves in my yard, when they all fall and I look out and I'm overwhelmed by the amount of them, the hurt that we experience in life can lead us to feel like it is just too much. Actually, the Apostle Paul, he points this out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he underlines some inevitabilities in our lives. He says that we are hard-pressed on every side. Can you relate? He says that there are times that we're going to be perplexed. He also says that there are times that we're going to experience tremendous persecution. And then he also says that there are moments where you and I are going to be struck down. So, is that all there is? Do I just leave the stage and leave you with that? No. We're not supposed to just swallow this like a kid who's forced to eat broccoli. Because there's actually something tangible that we can hold on to. Over the last few weeks, pastors Dale and Kyle have been leading us through Psalm 23, this short but yet profound psalm that we find in Scripture. And today we're going to be looking at the last two verses of that psalm, verses 5 and 6. And we're going to see specifically how is it that the Lord responds to the hurt in our lives. So let's look at these verses together. Verse 5, it starts out by us proclaiming that the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You, Lord, anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to keep that on the screen, and I want to read that again. First time we read through Scripture is often a breeze through, so let's lean in a little bit more. You, Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you pray with me? Father God, you are our good shepherd. You give us everything that we need and more than we could ever want. Even the most challenging places in life are like green pastures in your presence, Lord. And we are thankful that you have prepared a path before us and that you indeed are the way, the truth, and the life. In your name we pray. Amen. When our kids were younger, our house wasn't big enough to provide ample space for us to have some kid-free moments. And so it wasn't uncommon. My default place of choice was actually the bathroom. And so it wasn't uncommon for me to go to the bathroom with no intent to use it, just so that I could have a few moments' peace. Can I get an amen? But like a horror movie, it wouldn't take long before there would be banging on the door, there would be a violent wiggling of the door handle, and then the creepiest part, the fingers that would come underneath the door. That's certainly not an ideal environment that we would seek for ourselves. Yet, the psalmist seems to suggest that is the reality there in Psalm 23, verse 5. Look at this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If you and I were to have a meal together, if you were to come to my home, I would go to great lengths to prepare my house for you. I would clean it so that you thought that it always looked that way, right? I would prepare a meal that I hope that you would enjoy. I would put my heart and my soul in that. You would then come to the house. You would ring the doorbell. I would open up the door and welcome you with open arms. I'd invite you in, and I would have you sit at the table. I'd pull the chair out for you. You'd sit down, and then I would lay before you the meal that I'd prepared, and we would sit, we would eat, we would talk. It would be peaceful. It would be encouraging. What I wouldn't do is invite 10 angry people into the room to shout at you for 2 hours. But yet that seems to be the atmosphere that we find ourselves in verse 5. Simply put, amid profound and deep hurt, our enemies surround us on every side. And they're shouting messages of pain. That's why it's so difficult, because you cannot escape it. Even as we seek to find peace, the enemies, they follow us. And they surround us no matter where we are. Now, it's important to point out that our enemies can sometimes personify in people's lives. But let's be clear. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning that our fight isn't against people, but rather it's against principalities, rulers of this dark world, meaning the sin that is in our lives and in the world. The enemies can take many different forms, but some of the most familiar ones are the enemy of abandonment, the enemy of sexual and physical harm, the enemy of anger, the enemy of disappointment. and the enemy of loss. Imagining those enemies surrounding us does not take a major imaginative effort, because we've all been there. Or maybe some of you are there right now. In fact, maybe some of you in this place can actually hear the shouts of those enemies. Over here, the enemy of abandonment is shouting because of someone that you loved who's turned their back and walked away. And over here, we have the enemy of physical and sexual harm that's come because someone that you trusted has done violence against you. Or over here, we have the enemy of anger because of choices that were made that has caused someone to harbor bitterness and resentment towards you. Or over here, we have the enemy of disappointment that has come from a life that you envisioned for yourself that has now just become a life of setbacks. Or over here, we have the enemy of loss who is shouting because someone who was always there for you is now tragically gone. And amid all of those shouts and amid the deafening voices, there is another voice that overcomes. You see, the Lord, He invites us to His home and He opens up the door. He then asks us to come in, and He's prepared this lavish feast for us at the table in the presence of the shouts of the enemies. And He's pulled out the chair and He's invited us to sit down. And then He's placed His hand on our shoulder and He's leaned down. And then He says the two most profound words, "Trust me." Do you hear that? There's no more shouts. No more deafening voices. The enemies are still there. But when we trust in the Lord, His voice is the only we hear. Psalm 23 takes a turn in verse 5. The beginning of the chapter is very familiar, right? What is the first line of Psalm 23? "The Lord is my shepherd." So for the first several verses, the Lord is compared to a shepherd, illuminating how the Lord leads us and cares for us. But in verse 5, there's this turn that happens. The Lord now is compared to a host. This is significant because in ancient times, when Psalm 23 was written, obviously it was customary, just like it is today, when a host invites someone to their home, they're a guest, and it's the responsibility of the host to serve their guest. But what was different then was that not only was the host responsible to serve their guest, but they were also responsible for their guest's protection as if their guest was a member of their family. You see, when the Lord invites us to sit at His table and enjoy the lavish feast that He's laid out before us, we are not simply guests to Him. See, when we entrust Him and accept His invitation, we become part of His family. We become His children. And just as we would protect our child at all costs, the Lord protects us even amidst our enemies. He lays his hand on our shoulder and he says, trust me. Don't listen to them. They can't even touch you. Listen to me. I will protect you because you are mine. But it doesn't stop there. Not only do we receive the lavish feast that he's presented before us, not only do we receive his protection, but we also see that he anoints our head with oil. Now, also in ancient times, it was customary, as a host invites the guest in and offers them, gives them protection because they are as if they are part of their family, they also anoint their head with oil as a means of giving their guest honor. They're saying by doing that, you have immense value to me. See, as the host, the Lord anoints your head with oil, saying, you are immensely valued. You are to be honored. In my eyes, you are worthy. The enemy of lies wants you to believe that you are a mistake, that you are a distraction, that you are a leftover. But the Lord wants to remind you that you are immensely cherished and valued. He wants you to understand that your worth is not measured by how the world sees you or how you perceive the world sees you. That your worth is not measured by what people say or what people do or what you have done. Your worth is not even measured by how you see yourself. Do you want to know how the Lord sees you? Do you want to know what he thinks of you when he sees you? In Isaiah chapter 43, he says, you are precious and honored in my sight. Truth is revealed through the eyes of the Father. We are precious. And in God's eyes, we are honored. The most challenging part of any dinner party is when it's over. The host, as much as they love having you over, they are also coveting your leaving, right? Because at some point, people get tired. The conversation wanes. They've ran out of games to play. Or kids need to get to bed. And so the night comes to a close. You say your goodbyes. You walk out the door. You get in your car and you drive home. That dinner at the host's home was a temporary, momentary reprieve from the hustle and bustle and chaos of life. Every single person in this room, you understand what it means to look forward to your day or days off, right? Or that vacation that's in the horizon. We're conditioned that way, to long for those momentary places where we can experience reprieve. But it doesn't last. And because that's our reality, we often tend to associate that temporary, momentary peace to the Lord. But that couldn't be further from the truth. We Because there's something unique and profound about sitting at the Lord's table, enjoying his protection as you partake in that lavish feast that he has prepared before you. In being told and being shown how valuable you are to him. See, when you choose to trust the comforting hand of the Lord on your shoulder, as you welcome his lavish hospitality, the peace, the protection, the love, and the goodness that he provides, get this, it does not end. My cup, it overflows, the psalmist writes. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we accept the invitation that the Lord's prepared, he proceeds to give us an overabundance of his goodness, an overabundance of his love. Notice that it's not that the Lord just gives us enough of what we need. He doesn't just give us enough to get by. He doesn't give us enough to just get through the year or to get through the month or to get through the week or even to get through the day. He gives us way more than that. As we sit at the table that he's provided in the presence of our enemies, the outpouring of his goodness and the outpouring of his love, it overflows. It saturates. It drenches us. His goodness and love knows no bound. We are forever without need. This message is entitled, God's Antidote to Hurt. If I were you, I'd be asking a question right now. What's the antidote? See, that's tough, right? Let's just be honest. There's not a single person in this room who thinks that they will never be hurt again. Now, I can tell you, I've gladfully accepted the Lord's invitation, and I've sat at his table, but I've still been hurt. And I will be hurt again. But remember that passage that we looked at in 2 Corinthians 4 where Paul lays down certainties where he says that, yes, we are going to be hard-pressed on every side. And yes, we are going to experience times where we are just utterly and completely perplexed. And yeah, we're going to experience moments of persecution. And there will be times where we're going to be struck down. But when we trust the Lord's invitation to sit at his table, the message becomes so much more rich. Yeah, we're going to be hard pressed on every side, but we will never be crushed. We will experience moments where we are just utterly perplexed, but we will never, ever be in despair. Yes, there will be moments that we experience persecution, but we will never, ever in the midst of that be abandoned. And yeah, there will be times that we will be struck down, but we will never, ever, when we sit at the Lord's table, be destroyed. He has invited you to his home, and he's waiting to welcome you in. And as you come in, he'll usher you to his table. And the feast that he's laid out before you, and he'll pull out the chair and invite you to sit down. And as he lays his hand on your shoulder, he will reveal to you who he is and then who you are to him.
I am your shepherd. You lack nothing. I make you lie down in green pastures. I lead you beside quiet waters. I refresh your soul. I guide you along the right paths for my name's sake. Even though you walk through the darkest valley, you will fear no evil, for I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I anoint your head with oil. Your cup overflows. Surely my goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in my house forever.
My wife and I have been married for almost 20 years. And over those 20 years, my wife has written a series of different letters, little notes that she's left on the counter, cards that she's given me, and I've kept every single one. And it's not uncommon for me to go through those and to grab one like this one that she gave, to open it up and to remind myself of her love for me, how valuable I am to her, and her commitment. Why do I read these? Because I'm me. Because I'm fickle and I forget. And I hear the shouts. And I sometimes allow those shouts to define my worth. That's not who I am. See, God has provided a love letter from him to you and to me. That's his word. And in that love letter, he reveals to us just exactly who we are. I want to invite the ushers forward, and they're going to pass out some cards to all of you. Now, don't worry, these aren't written from my wife. That would be weird. Before you open the card, though, I want to explain a couple things. These are sealed envelopes. As you receive one, I want you to take a pen. There are pens in the pew backs in front of you. And what I want you to do is before you even open this, on the front of this envelope, I want you to write your first name. Now, why would I have you do that? Well, this letter that I received from my wife has my name on it because it is a personal message to me from her. And that's what this is. This is a personal message from the Lord to you. So write your first name on the front of that envelope. And then after you've done that, I want you to go ahead and unseal this and take out the card that's inside. As you do, you're going to notice that it's a bit of a Mad Lib, but it's much more than that. This is Psalm 23, written as God's personal message to you. In just a moment, we're gonna hear some music, and as we do, what I would like you to do is to put your first name in each of the blank spots on this card. As you do that, you will see firsthand in a very personal way the message that the Lord has for you unveiled. His protection. The value that he's placed on you. His goodness and his love. and the enduring nature of those things. Use this moment to reflect on that message and allow the message of His truth and love to embrace you.